Matthew chapter 9, and we will direct our attention to verses 27 through 30 this morning. Matthew chapter 9. Beginning in verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. As we turn our attention to one of the many miracles performed by Jesus, it is important that we read it understanding the proper reason of why it was recorded for us. The miracles of Jesus were performed on a physical level to demonstrate that Jesus is God. The lame walked, the lepers were healed, the deaf had their hearing restored to them, the dead were raised to life to prove to the world that Jesus possessed all power in heaven and in earth. The miracles performed by the Lord were accomplished not only to verify His deity, that He was God, but also to provide us with a picture of the greatest miracle, the salvation of our soul. The miracles of Christ provide insight about how God saves a soul. The miracles are physical pictures of the message of the gospel. The physical miracles were recorded in the Bible to teach us about our spiritual condition and our need to be spiritually transformed. This is important to understand because I think often we have the tendency to read about the miracles of Jesus merely on a physical level, when they were given to us in the Bible for us to have the spiritual truths explained to us more deeply. And that being said, I want us to consider the passage before us in the light of the spiritual, in the light of God dealing with souls. What can we learn from this passage about man's need for the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the first thing I want us to reflect upon is the nature of blindness. The Bible says here in our text that two men were blind. They could not see. They approached Jesus in their blindness. These were those who could not see the beauty of the sunrise or the beauty of the sunset. They could not look above their heads at night and see the glory of the stars, the moon shining in the darkness. They could not observe the faces of their family members or friends. And most likely they were poor men because they had no way of making a living being blind. And though they approached the Lord, they could not physically see Him. And like these men here in our text, all men are naturally blind. That is, they are blind spiritually. We see first the nature of blindness. And we are blinded by many things naturally. Because Adam rebelled in the garden, because sin entered into the world, all men are by nature blind to God, blind to spiritual things. And we are blind to various aspects, and let me give you one of them this morning. We are naturally blind to our accountability to God. We are spiritually ignorant of how we have been created. We have been created by God as spiritual beings who possess a soul. All of us were born blind to the truth that we will one day give an account to our Creator, the one who has created all things. And the world, in its blindness, only covers our eyes more with man-made lies. The world says that death is the end, that there is no life after death. There's no such thing as eternity. The world says that after death comes reincarnation. Don't become too anxious about how you live now, because you'll have another opportunity as a human, as a butterfly, or as in the desert, maybe a rattlesnake. The world says all things came to be because of a big bang. We are the products of evolution. We are the offspring of monkeys. The world says there is no God. Christianity is a fairy tale. The Bible is a book of contradictions written by men. And the world says all this because they are blind to their accountability to God. They are willfully blind. They do not wish to submit to the authority of God, so they remain blind in their sin. As the Bible says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They do not wish to submit to the Creator, Romans 1, and thus they are without excuse. So the world, in its blindness, is blind to its accountability before God. But then we see also we are naturally blind, not only to our accountability before God, but we are blind to our own sinfulness. And how great is this blindness? How is it that our nation is so accepting of murdering babies in the womb by the millions? How is it that people delight in music and movies laced with profanity, murder, and adultery? Why is it that it seems cool to party, to boast about drug use and drunkenness? Why does our society regard sports stars and movie stars as the great heroes of society? Why? Because they can bounce a ball faster than anyone else. And wow, these are our heroes of the day. Why is it that we hold such things in esteem? Because we are spiritually blind. We do not see the strength of sin. We do not see the foolishness of sin. We do not see the consequences of sin. And from the drug abuser living on the street, to the convicted felon living in jail, to the old religious couple across the street, this world is in blindness. They are blind to the reality of how evil their human heart is. They do not realize that they love themselves more than God. They do not realize that they are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They do not realize that they're sinning against God by lying, coveting, and pursuing immoral actions are offensive to a holy and righteous God. And why don't they realize this? Because they are blind. Naturally, we are blind to our accountability to God. Naturally, we are blind to our sinfulness to God, toward God. And naturally, we are blind to our need for Christ. And how do we know this? People are blind to their need of the Savior. Well, look around. Do you see every seat taken here in our pews? Do you see people pressing in at the doors, desiring to know more about the Savior? The answer is no. The world is content to go on in their ways. The world right now is shopping, watching golf, watching NASCAR, sleeping in, taking care of house projects. This is the Lord's day. We have thousands of churches open, ready to preach the gospel for the benefit of souls. And yet, we have thousands upon thousands, tens upon thousands, hundreds of thousands going to sports games rather than the church, which persuades us then that the world is blind to their need of the Savior. Think about outreach opportunities that you've been a part of. When was the last time, soul winner, that you entered into a neighborhood and had the whole neighborhood running to you saying, "Teach me the ways of God, I want to know"? It's silent. Never happened. This world does not desire God. They are perfectly content living without knowing more about Christ. They think themselves to be good. People spend all night outside of stores. The day of Thanksgiving, hence Black Friday. All night in the cold to get a deal on a television set. People spend all night camping in a tent to watch the latest Star Wars film. And yet, where are the tents outside of the church? We didn't have a mob rush into service this morning, did we? Aren't we talking about spiritual things? Aren't we talking about that which is eternal? Where are they? They're not here because they're blind. Blind to their sinfulness. Blind to their accountability before God. Blind for their need for Christ. And by nature, we are blind then to our purpose in life. Ask the average person, what is the purpose of life? And they will respond something about this. My purpose of life is to be happy. To be successful. I am here on earth to help other people. I am here to raise my children to be good American citizens. I am here to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. They would say life is about having fun. Life is about enjoying your family. Life is about striving for fame and fortune. And naturally, we are blind to the greater spiritual purpose of this life. And what is that greater spiritual purpose? The purpose of our life we have recorded for us in Scripture is to honor, glorify, and serve God, the one who has given us life. And yet this world rotates in foolishness. It's ignorant to why we are here. Why are we here? Is our purpose in life only to wake up, have an education, go through K-12, perhaps go to college, perhaps start a family, go through the struggles of life, go on vacation here or there, retire, and then die? Is that really all that there is? And yet most would say, I have no idea why we're here. Or they would point to very empty objects of why they're here. And that's because of our spiritual blindness. All men are blind, naturally. But then we see another spiritual truth, and the need here is the need of healing. And we see that these two blind men heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they approached Christ, crying, verse 27, and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Now let me ask you a question. What convinced these two men that Jesus was able to heal? Think about it. What brought these two men to the realization that Jesus was divine, that he was God? I mean, others were mocking Jesus. Others called Jesus a devil. Others doubted. Others called Jesus a liar for claiming to be God. What about these two men? What convinced them that Jesus was able to heal? Well, the answer is God convinced them. And just as God convinced these two men that Jesus Christ was able to heal, so God, by His Holy Spirit, convinces of the need for healing. Is there any hope for a world that dwells in blindness, spiritual blindness? Well, the answer is yes, there is hope, and the hope lies only in the power of Jesus Christ, only in the grace of Jesus Christ. And the need of healing is found in Christ. And I want you to see God's sovereignty here. We will look at both sides of the coin here in point number two and point number three. But point number two, we see God's mighty sovereignty. Christ must needs go through this town because God is working in the hearts of these two blind men. It is God's providence that has arranged this circumstance so that they might come to see once again. And so it is in the spiritual birth. those of us blind to our accountability to God, those of us blind to our sinfulness before God, those who are blind to the purpose of life, it is God who breathes His Holy Spirit into the soul so then they might see. And then we call this the new birth, John chapter 3. Nicodemus was a very religious man, but he was blind spiritually. He thought he could see, but he was really spiritually blind. And Jesus says in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In so many words, Jesus says, Nicodemus, you are blind. You know the law. You're blind. You pray faithfully. You're blind. You go through religious actions. You're blind. And you are blind because you have never been born again. Born from above. Born of God. Born of the Spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. And what is this? This is faith given into the heart of the believer. We are saved by grace through faith. And this grace that God gives is a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so it is God who works in the heart of those who are spiritually blind, enabling them to believe. And do you see God's sovereignty here? Why them? Why these two men? Surely there were others around. Why did Christ give them the recognition of their need? The answer is the grace of God. Man cannot make himself see. But God in His grace, God through the power of Jesus Christ, made these two men to come see. And this is why we hit against the modern day easy believism. We hit against the modern day quick prayerism, the decisionism. Because look at the parable. That would be like going to a blind man and telling the blind man to see. Go ahead and try that next time. See if you comfort hearts of the blind. Hey, blind man, look at the sunset. Isn't it beautiful? Well, I can't see. Well, just try. Look at it. Well, I can't. Well, why can't you? Aren't you sincere? Can't you look? Look! Without the enabling of the Spirit, that's what Jesus is saying in John chapter 3, without the working of the Spirit, no man can see the kingdom of God. We cannot force spiritual sight on others. When God says, "Let there be light," then there's light. And there cannot be life in your soul. There cannot be spiritual light in your soul unless God says, "Let there be light." Let them see the truth about themselves. Let them see what Jesus Christ has done. Let them see. And this is the grace of God and the salvation of souls, the faith that is the gift of grace. And that's God's sovereignty. But then we also see the reverse side of the coin, the necessity of faith. While it is true that God sovereignly heals, it is also true that one must place their complete trust in Christ to save. Look at it. Jesus asked the blind men, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And what was their response? "Yes, Lord. We believe." Well, God is working in their hearts. Christ wants them to exercise their faith in Him. Do you believe that I am the Son of God? Do you believe that I have the power to heal? And they cast themselves completely on the mercy of Jesus Christ and they are healed. And so it is with salvation. We must personally believe that Jesus is God. We must personally believe that Jesus is the only one who has the power to transform our soul. Christ delivers us from the power of darkness. Christ opens our eyes and turns us from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that we may receive forgiveness of sins. And this comes when we believe. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Grace through faith. personal faith, not family faith. Well, our family grew up going to church. Well, I live in the United States. We're a Christian nation. Of course, we're all going to heaven. Our coin said, "In God we trust." No, personal faith. Personal trust. The blind men said, "Have mercy on us." Not have mercy on all the blind of the world. Have mercy on us. They see the depth of their condition. They believe that Jesus Christ is able to heal them. And so they go to Christ believing. And what happens? The Lord touches their eyes and saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." According to your works? Jesus tell them to do some magical hoop jumping so that they might receive sight? No. Jesus tell them to go through confirmation class to receive sight? Jesus tell them to jump in the baptismal waters to receive sight? No. According to your faith, be it unto you. Faith. Believing that what God has promised, He is able to perform. Faith. Believing that Christ is the Savior of the world. Faith, believing that Jesus Christ is our sin substitute. Faith, believing that He has power to cleanse us from sin. Faith, this is the necessity of faith. And no man, no woman, no child, no boy, no girl has ever been saved except through faith. So this destroys the teachings of works, salvation by works. It is by faith and only by faith. And then we see the newness of life, the nature of blindness, the need of healing, the necessity of faith, the newness of life. Oh, what wonders these blind men could now see. They've been dwelling in darkness for days and weeks, months, years. And now they can see. Now they are beholding their Master, their Lord, Jesus Christ. And now they can see their family members and friends. Now they can look at the glory of the sunrise and the sunset. Now they can look in the stars at night and marvel at the greatness of God. Now they can go throughout the town without stumbling, without need for other help, so they don't get injured. They have newness of life. And they know that they have new life, and others know that they have new life. Others can tell. There's a difference. They can see, and we see here the mighty transformation of salvation. When one is given spiritual sight by God, they see. What do they see? They see their own sinfulness. "I am a wretch before God. I've broken His commandments. I am not worthy of salvation, but God in His grace came to me. God in His infinite power allowed me to see." What do they see? Well, they see their accountability to God. "I will one day stand before Him and give an account before Him." They see. What do they see? They see their need for Christ. "I need the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I need Him to wash away my sin." What do they see? They see the vanity of this world. When we're given spiritual sight, we see that everything is empty under the sun. This life gives no real meaning apart from God. What do we see when we come to faith in Christ? When our eyes are opened spiritually, we see then the purpose of life. That life is worth living for God and for God alone. That we were not created to live for ourselves. We were not created to live for pleasure. We were created to live for God. And we are recreated, we are saved to live for His glory. What do we see when God opens our sight? We see that God's Word is true. And isn't there a relationship change with the Bible that comes when we have our sight open? Whereas once we treated this book as another book. Whereas once we never ran to this book for wisdom and instruction. But when God gives spiritual sight, this book becomes our meat. It becomes our water. It becomes our source of spiritual nourishment. We had no regard for the things of God, no regard for the Word of God. You said, "Well, I read the Bible before I was saved." And yes, you didn't understand it as you do when you were a Christian, did you? You have new spiritual glasses. You have the Holy Spirit, the author of the Scripture, abiding within you, teaching you the ways of God. So when God gives new sight, this book becomes God's love letter. It's not a book of thou shalt not. It's not a book of laws and regulations and harsh saying. Oh no, this book is a book of grace, a book of comfort. This is written to us by God our Father, and it is laced with promises of His love. When one is given spiritual life, there is a drastic change. And don't we see that in all of the miracles? And I say that because, again, we live in an age of Christianity where we think one can be a Christian without having a drastic change. Well, I just grew up in church. Well, when were you born again? When did you change? Well, I've always believed in God. Well, that's nice. The devils believe and tremble. When were you born again? When were you changed? When did God give you sight? And I remember being in a class with students, and I began to ask them their testimony. And one young man said passionately, well, it wasn't some big epiphany or anything. It just happened. Really? You met the Creator God and nothing happened? It was just a casual conversation with any man? God transforms the soul. God gives new affections. God gives new desires. Again, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is made new. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Did the Apostle Paul stay the same when he met Christ? Oh, no. He was transformed to the fullest. And I'm not speaking of the depth of transformation. Not everybody has to be a drug dealer and have a testimony of being saved from the streets, but they should have a testimony of being saved from the depth of sin, the seriousness of blindness. And all those who are believers here this morning know this. You can look back at your pre-conversion days and you say, I was blind. You can pull out old photographs. Yes, you men with the long hair in the 60s. And you can say, yes, look at me. And I could show you pictures of myself as a rebellious 16-year-old with the backwards cap and the baggy pants, the one who stood at the stoplight with the music loud to annoy other people. And yet God transformed my soul. We were blind. We did not have a care in the world about God. We were using God as a crutch. We thought all was well with our soul, but God gave us light, spiritual light. We were born again, and now we see God as He is. Well, let me ask you this morning, are these spiritual qualities evident in your life? Has God shined the light of the gospel into your heart? Has God illuminated your understanding of who God is and why He sent His Son? Can you sincerely sing the words of John Newton? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. If God by His Spirit is convincing you of your blindness now at this moment, your need for spiritual sight, all you have need to do is cry out for His mercy. Like these blind men, God be merciful. Lord, save me. My family's a mess because I'm blind. My future will be a mess because I'm blind. I have no meaning, no real purpose in life. I'm blind. God, be merciful. I see now my sin. I see now the vanity of living for this world. God, be merciful. And if you cry that to God, the one who has the power to give sight, He will give sight. And we have so many people here present that are amening because they have witnessed the same power in the gospel. Now, let me also give a warning. It is possible to say you have light, yet abide in darkness. Do you remember the Pharisees? They were those who thought they saw, but they were blind. Do you remember those in Matthew chapter 7? Jesus said, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." These were those who worked in the name of Jesus, yet they were blind. Do you remember one of the 12, Judas Iscariot? Fitting in with the Christian crowd, doing Christian things, and yet was blind. He died in his sins. It is possible to be deceived by Satan. It is possible for Satan to provide a counterfeit eyesight. It is possible to think that we are in the light when we are not in the light. And isn't it interesting that Satan transforms himself into an angel of light? So are we walking in the true light? Again, is there evidence in our life that we are? Have we seen our sinfulness? Has God brought us to see our accountability, our need for Christ, the vanity of the world, the purpose of life? Do we see God's word is true? Has there been a miraculous change wrought in our life by the Holy Spirit? The Apostle John says, 1 John 1:6-7, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, that is, walk in habitual sin and rebellion against God, John says, we lie and do not the truth. That's pretty clear and simple. But then John says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There are some who think that they see, they are trusting in morality. They are trusting in their sincerity. They are trusting in their good religious works. They think that they see, but they are truly blind. There's no true, deep, strong hunger for righteousness. They just go through the religious motions. They treat the church as a spiritual Elks Club. Throughout their week, there's no true hunger and thirsting for God and His Word. As David said, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so thirsteth my soul after God. Was David some spiritual elite human being? No. This was the evidence of a true convert, the evidence of a true Christian. He has the desire to do God's will. Is he perfect? No. Does he sin? Yes. But the just man falls 7 times and gets up again. He seeks God again. The devil may push him down, but he gets up again. The world may push him down, but God's grace picks him up again. He seeks the face of God. Trials may come and push him down, but God in His grace picks him up and makes sure he finishes the race whereby he hears, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It's God working in us to do His good will and good pleasure. We persevere because of His power and grace, and that's the only way. That's the one who sees. But the blind man is so consumed with self. The blind man compares himself among himself. The blind man just looks at the Bible as a strange book of laws that God gives. The blind man is pharisaical, is unloving. He looks at other Christians who are truly devoted as brainwashed wackos. But the true men who see, they love the Lord Jesus Christ. They delight to do His will. So be careful of this deceiving light. This light of Satan. The light that fools so many. And if you are a recipient of spiritual sight, let me give you 2 concluding applications. What then should we do, those of us who have received sight from the Lord, those of us who are born again, those of us who have the promise of eternal life abiding in our soul, what should then we do? The first thing, praise God. Psalm 40:16, let all those that seek Thee rejoice and be glad in Thee. Let such as love Thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. That's the desire of somebody who's been made to see spiritually. They love their salvation, and they say continually every day, "The Lord be magnified. Let His name be known for the glorious things He has done in my life." We praise God because we remember the darkness that He has brought us out of, and we let that truth, the truth of salvation, inflame our worship for Him. And sometimes our hearts can grow cold, our worship can become calloused when we forget what God has saved us from. Believer, perhaps you're cold spiritually because you've taken the grace of God for granted. You have forgotten what God has brought you out of. You have forgotten the depth of the blindness that you were in. You have forgotten about the grace of God that brings salvation. And it's important for us to constantly remember. This is the theme of Deuteronomy, isn't it? Remember. Remember who you were in Egypt. Remember God's mighty hand. Remember the deliverance out of Egypt. Remember your glorious salvation so that it might work in your soul an attitude of praise and adoration to God. So what is our response, those of us who have received sight? It's to praise Him, not only on Sundays, but every day. Not only when we feel like it. But all the time. Praise Him. And then what should we do? Well, we then have mercy on others. Our aim in this life is to reflect Jesus Christ, the light of this world. As believers, that is our aim. As the moon reflects the light of the sun to a dark and dying world, so the believer ought to reflect the light of the Son of God to a lost and dying generation. That is our aim. That is our mission. Jesus does not bring others out of darkness so that they might keep the light to themselves. If our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Jesus gives light so that the light might be shared with those who are blind. Jesus is the light of the world, but Jesus also said that we are the light of the world. And so Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and then glorify your Father which is in heaven." And I say that because it is easy to become like James and John, the sons of thunder, and become hardened toward the lost around us. It is easy to become frustrated with those who are spiritually blind. Why aren't they getting this? Why are they continuing in sin and rebellion? But we are to show compassion on those who are spiritually blind and without Christ. Why? Because we have been shown compassion. The best way to develop compassion is to remember God's grace in your life and to say, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." When we look at the world, when we look at lost family members and friends, and we become frustrated at their blindness, when we turn on the news and we read and hear about the most heinous acts, the most wicked, evil acts done, and we begin to be puffed up in our minds, "Oh, we would never do that." Our response should be, "But by the grace of God, there go I." And then to be inwardly moved with compassion as the Lord Jesus was, because our world dwells as sheep without a shepherd. They're blind to their need of Christ. And we are called to show mercy toward the spiritually blind as Christ has showed mercy with us. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And this is the evidence of one who's come to see. Have you come to see the glory of God? Not the importance of church. Not the importance to keep yourself moral and off of drugs. Have you come to see the Lord Jesus Christ in all of His glory? Have you come to see that life is more than just living and going through the motions, more than just going through the job, more than just raising children. Life is about loving the Lord Jesus Christ and serving Him. Have you come to see this? Has God brought this to your understanding? If not, may today be the day of your salvation. May you cry out for mercy. May this be the day where God gives you spiritual sight. May God help us to comprehend His Word and obey His will. Would you join me in prayer? Father, I am convinced that in many of our churches we still have those who are blind, going through religious motions, not knowing the peace which passes all understanding, not knowing the joy that Jesus Christ alone gives, not knowing the hope that is beyond this life. Oh, Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit, the light, would illumine dark hearts of those who are without Christ, those who are without hope in this world. May they look to the light of the world. May they cry out for mercy. May they see their need for salvation. Lord, we know that only You can bring this about. Only You can convince by Your Spirit, and we pray that You will, even in this hour, those who have come today by Your providence, who need the Lord Jesus Christ, may they see that they too can be recipients of Your grace. They too can have sight. And Lord, as believers, those who see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, Lord, we praise You, and may our praise be abundant. May our praise be constant. May we praise You constantly, daily, throughout all the seasons of life. And may we seek to be merciful to those who are blind, as You have been merciful to us. Lord, give sight. Soften our hearts. Humble us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.